You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
All right, Buffalo Bills football Wednesday. Let's try that. Joe, nice little note on Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Sneaking in there in a sneaky Joe way. That if Flacco makes it to next week as the Jets quarterback, the Bills would face him, and that would be the first time they faced Joe Flacco since Josh Allen's first game, the opener of 2018, that would be, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Very memorable.
Played the second half of that game.
Josh Allen. And Flacco might not have played much of the second half himself.
Because they were far ahead.
Lamar Jackson. Yesterday, a game came up, Tennessee at Denver. We're talking about Tennessee, of course, and this was last year after the Bills played Tennessee. The Titans went to Denver, and Marcus Mariota started, and that was his last game as the starter for Tennessee. Do you know who the Denver quarterback was?
Joe Flacco.
The guy's everywhere.
Yeah.
Who knew this guy? He's just everywhere. Joe Flacco and Frank Gore. The Jets play the Dolphins. Can I pick the Jets right now?
Sure.
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Max Buster.
Okay.
That is the most bustery Buster game.
All the Buster. Great. If you want to even, like, I don't know, spend this first segment or all the hours we have today talking about Jets-Dolphins so we don't have to talk about that game last night, that's fine with me. Do we get away on the radio with we're on to Kansas City? It's Wednesday already. There's another game coming up.
Point.
Do we get away with that, or is that not how this works? I don't think that's how this works. I wish we could get away with that.
By the way, I have to say I'm a little bit offended that you didn't assume that's already what I was doing.
I should have interrupted. I should have kept going. I should have rolled with it.
We should have talked first. Yeah, like, all right, so.
Oh, God.
How bad is this? I mean.
Oh, it was awful.
It was a bad night.
Yeah.
But I want to be, I am pretty casual about it. I mean, I don't know. They could afford the loss. The score got a little stupid.
It did. Well, I mean, really, the reason I'm saying what I'm saying about, you know, on to Kansas City is because that's kind of how I feel. I mean, I don't know how troublesome this is, but I don't think we'll know until we see some more games. I mean, it was a horrendous night. I mean, there's no way around. I mean, it was just name a thing that went right. I mean, it was just they were awful. So, you know, is that who they are? I mean, I don't think so. I don't think the first four games of the year tell you that's who they are. But they did have some real issues that have been present in games that they won that I think you can spend some time worrying about if you're inclined with Kansas City coming to town. Largely, like, who's going to cover people? Because they're in real trouble without Trey White on the field. And they might even be in real trouble without Levi Wallace available. I don't know. That sounds crazy, I know. But It's hard for me to imagine. Can I start? It's hard for me to imagine Josh Norman ever having a worse game in the NFL than what happened last night. I mean, if he did, then, you know, maybe that's why his stock was where it was when the Bills got him. Because it's been reported and well-documented that he was kind of a sinkhole in Washington after some good years in Carolina. I mean, the guy just could not get anything done. Every time the ball went his way, it was yardage, either a completion or a penalty, or he was getting stiff-armed into next week. I mean, it was just a horrible, horrible performance by him, and he was like their number one guy back there yesterday, and that was awful.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm in a interesting spot right now with the Bills on defense because I'm watching this league and I feel that it isn't as important as it used to be, or really isn't. It's like less important than ever, or less likely that your team is going to be able to stop my team, no matter almost like who I am, who you are. Most games, offenses dominate. So at the same time, I think it's reasonable to be concerned about it. You still need stops. There are good defenses in the league. You know, there are defenses better than yours. Statistically, in terms of yards and points, the Bills are in the middle. They're not at the bottom.
Right.
Although, if you look up, you know, except for what? You could do this a few, you'd use a few different lines of demarcation. Halftime of the opener could be one if you want to go back as far as you can. Or some other point, like you have the Raiders. The Raiders had nine possessions last week, and they scored on five. And they had two turnovers. They got stopped on a fourth and one. The Bills really did not stop them very, very often. Last night, the Titans had nine possessions. They scored touchdowns on six. They scored all their scores were touchdowns. Like, that's another.
Right.
If you turn that. I don't know. I'm going to sound like I'm working too hard. If you turn six touchdowns into 4-2 or something, and you take away that they started, you know, in Bills territory two or three times, like kind of deep after interceptions.
No, I was just waiting to say four of those touchdown drives were 30 yards or less. Three of them were under 20 yards.
There you go.
I mean that is a brutal way to give up 28 points. there's the 16-yard line, the 18, it was just brutal.
That's both Butler interceptions and then the kickoff fumble.
Right.
Right? So I don't know, like they're not exactly getting shredded there. They could not stop them. The Rams game, you know, the Rams scored four touchdowns in a row, and then the last possession really shouldn't even count. It's like one play and there's 17 laterals. So the Rams did, after halftime, the Rams did anything they wanted. But I don't think really this is going to determine my fate. Trey White will be back. Milano will be back. And I've got a cushion.
Yeah, well, it's very important that they get those guys back. That's what I feel like we learned last night. Like that I think the Bills can make enough play. And like even Josh Norman made a play in the Raiders game that was a very significant play. It was one of those two takeaways that you referenced. But him matched up with any other team's number one guy, and like, I don't know, pick a name out of a hat on Kansas City. I mean, we know who their number one guy is, but there's just talent all over the field there. And I feel like a defense playing the way last night's defense played, even with the short field point, is in real peril if they don't get some guys back. So, you know, getting the guys back will, you know, mitigate a lot of this. But I don't know how seriously Trey White is hurt. You know, his back injury just sort of popped up last week, and he tried it out yesterday and couldn't play, and they really, really missed him. Milano hasn't gone on IR, and so hopefully like that. I think this week is going to be spent with us sort of just waiting for the injury report and hoping we can get any comfort from it, which is unlikely because it's always as vague as possible, and we probably won't know until Monday whether guys are actually going to be in the lineup that they desperately need for reinforcements. And that's just on one side of the ball. On offense, I mean, right from the start of this game yesterday, you missed John Brown because Andre Roberts is in the spot Andre Roberts is in on the first third down conversion attempt of the game because Gabriel Davis isn't, because Gabriel Davis is in John Brown's spot. And the trickle down gets Andre Roberts there, and he can't handle the pass, and it's, you know, you're down 7-0 before you even sat down. So they really, you know, they got a lot of depth, but they missed some key guys yesterday badly in this game.
I was already a little bit miffed by the third play of the game. Was that the third play of the game? The Bills get
It was third down, yeah.
The Bills got the opening kickoff.
Yep.
They ran inside back-to-back to start the game. Where are my Bills? Where are my new Bills? First down, inside run. Second down, inside run. Third down, interception. Next, three plays later, 7-0. Like, where are my Bills? Where are my 30 points, you know? I mean, like, you can't take 30 points a game for granted. In fact, the over-under for Kansas City-Buffalo is 57, and the Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite. The line is 30 points for Kansas City. My friend Tommy last night's like, Kansas City will score 70. 70!
That's what it. I was tempted to exaggerate like that when laying this out about Norman and how much they miss these guys. Like with Kansas City coming in, like what you're gonna have to stop them somehow. Maybe they'll just make mistakes like you did last night and do you some favors. I don't know, but they can't cover anybody right now.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it happens, but you don't want to talk like that. You don't want to just be like, well, you know, it happens. You never know. That's how you talk when the Bills are like 0-4, not 4-0. But the offense is more – it's always more the story to me. Josh Allen in the beginning of this game was incredible. Like, there were four amazing third down conversion plays on the first drive. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Running to the right, under duress, announcers want him to throw it away, throws against his across his body for a completion on, like, third and 13. A run he makes – on the second one, the touchdown to Davis on the third one that didn't count because they called an illegal shift. That, you know, you want to raise money for charity. Let's do $5 every time you can catch an offensive play where when two men were moving before the snap, they're all not set at the time of the snap for a full second. That's the rule. You want to do that because we could raise a lot of money fast. This
I thought
one
maybe
gets
you'd
called
want to raise some money and donate to CBS for some cameras that actually show good replays of penalties, like that one, which was a shoddy replay, and then the roughing the passer penalty, which we never saw because it was shot from the moon, apparently. Like, I don't know what kind of crew that was, but everything was messed up. You know, it's like this when the Bills lose. Like, you're more agitated. I mean, as I can be. A lot of things aggravated me last night about the game and the coverage, but yeah, I mean, sure, you've got your point is Allen was nails early, and I totally agree. Like he's the only reason they were even in the game, I think, because no one around him seemed to be able to do drops, all the false start, just the discipline, attention to detail, penalties. Like they were a mess. They looked like the team that was away from their facility for 16 days or whatever the hell Tennessee was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were a mess.
Got to ask Sal. I wonder if Sal has ever wondered, all those times where they kick the media out of practice, what really happens after they're kicked out?
Cheeseburgers.
Like, there have been times when I've kicked my kids out of our room, and let me tell you, it's not because I've got, like, homework. I might say that I have something work-related to do, but that's not what I'm doing when I kick the kids out of the room. Are you going to watch me right now? I'm going to do something else. I'm going to get you out of here and then do what I want.
Oh, Lord.
The fourth play, by the way, was the pass at the sideline that was incredible, and then they score on McKenzie's little pass, I think they're calling it.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Allen, with anybody, with Mahomes, they might be saying this week after their loss, you can't expect it all the time. And they did not dictate this game. The other games this year, they've been ahead in all of them. They've never hardly ever been in trouble. Miami had them a little bit of trouble, but they got through that. Like most of the time this year, it's been a breeze. And here was a game where they were losing, like right away.
They were losing right away, and the the Bills have eaten a lot. Josh Allen has eaten a lot on man coverage, and they've gobbled that up and schemed people open. I don't know, aside from Cole Beasley underneath, if there was scheming anybody open last night. It just seemed like that, you know, Allen was just, as evidenced by him forcing the ball into Diggs like he was last night. Like, we've not seen that this year. Like, we want Diggs to get fed, but I don't know. They must miss John Brown more than we ever dreamt they would. Or they just haven't seen a team play zone as well as Tennessee did yesterday. But if teams are capable of playing that way, the Bills are going to have to find another way. It took them until halftime to figure out throwing underneath the Beasley was maybe the only thing available to them. And that's a little weird. That, like, I like, you're asking what happened to where'd my Bills go? Where'd it go? You know, sometimes you do have to adapt. It took them too long to figure out where they needed to go with the ball. The game was already in tough shape for them by the time they started completing 8-yard passes to Beasley. So that was a little odd. But, you know, I think in the big scheme of things, the most alarming thing from the game, despite the fact that I wanted to start with Josh Norman, is that Tennessee took downfield passing away and confused Allen enough to really, he made some very curious decisions last night that we've not seen him make this season. And, you know, I would think any team that's going to be playing the Bills would be looking at that going, okay, this is how we do it. Because he just, I know his performance isn't going to be all world every week, but he, for the first time this year, to me, looked confused.
Well, this is where we get to another, one of my things, at least, is Allen isn't running anymore. And I feel like that is still a good discussion. Maybe as good as ever, mm-hmm. right? After the opener, we spent a lot of time on Josh Allen's running. I think he ran 14 times in that first game. Two were kneel downs, but those count, which is a little annoying for the stats because it should be 12. Kneel downs should not be rushes. Like the Raider game, he had a couple kneel downs. Those count as rushes. He's not including kneel downs, and they've won every game until yesterday. He's not run more than four times since. What do we know? We know he's great at it. We know that he fumbles a lot. And it continued into this season, and when it happened for the second time in the first half of game one, they made him stop. Like, there's nothing else to it. They were way ahead. Rushing would have been more the idea, and they just he did not cross the line of scrimmage with the ball one more time in that game. So, he's great at it. B is he fumbles. C is he got hurt in Vegas. Maybe that's relevant. I want to think that it might be. Like, I'm not ruling that out. I'm questioning this, but I'm not ignoring that he took that hit to his left shoulder in Vegas, one that the speculation was if it had been to his right shoulder, he wouldn't be on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a thing. He's got that sleeve on, you know, like maybe that's a part of this. But it had stopped already.
That's right.
So, you know, I can think of defenses for it. And one would be they're winning. And this is not an element that they need to force right now. They're scoring. They're winning. If they put a restrictor plate, is it plate?
Yes.
On Josh Allen's running, then okay. But if it's injury related, why had it stopped already? And if it's turnover related, I think that sucks. I think, like, you know, I can't win. I can't score like I need to if I'm afraid of turnovers.
Yeah, no, I wanted them to stop running in that Jet game before he fumbled the second time because of the score, not because he fumbled and not because of the risk of getting hurt. Well, the risk of getting hurt with the lead. I need him to run. I mean, I said it repeatedly that week. Like, it's a part of his game, and I think it's a key part of his game in their offense, and they have abandoned it, and I don't know the answer to it, and they sure as hell are not going to tell you if it's injury-related. But it very well could be, you know, that yesterday they got into a game that maybe they would have liked to do it, but he got dinged the week before. You know, I don't have an answer for you between the Jet game and, you know, the injury, which is 3 weeks in between, for why they didn't do it, unless it was just, like you said, we're winning anyway, so we'll just save this for when we really need it. You know, maybe last night was a time where you really needed it. You mentioned these runs to start the game. I mean, you should be able to run against a team that is playing the way the Titans were playing with those two guys deep, taking away the deep field. Like, a way to change that is to run, and maybe Allen establishing himself as a weapon running would help that. But they never really went to it last night. So I don't know what's going on there, but I think it's a very good question and something to, you know, be pondering as they move forward.
I want to slow down your pass rush. Like, this is how I'm going to do it. And I don't know if running Singletary inside and not having success is like really proof, if that deserves to be a letter in my little list there, is like proof that it's going to be a problem. I mean, it's not the same thing at all. So,
no.
I mean, I want Allen, whether it's that beautiful sweep play that the Bills run where he just walks into the end zone. If it's draws, it can be a lot of things, but in scrambles, of course, it's just not happening. And that is a curiosity to me. And I think for their offense to be the best it can, I think they do need John Brown back. I would support any argument. It would probably sound like excuses about Brown's importance because, you know, we've seen it. We've heard it from them. We know it. The pass to Roberts that's intercepted in the first quarter is a little bit behind him, but maybe Brown is just in a different place. I don't want to give Allen a pass on this, you know, on everything, but like the pass is not perfect. It's a little bit behind him,
but it should be caught.
Yeah, it's like, how many passes does this guy get? That's your point,
right? Well, right, that's it, right? Roberts is there because someone else isn't, right? I mean, that's the way the depth chart works. Like, he's never on the field in the first series of the game when they go four wide. That's Gabriel Davis's job. Because Brown, Beasley, and Diggs are your top three, but, you know, you remove one of them, and suddenly it's go time right from the start. So, you know, that's a very, to me, plainly evident example of them missing Brown, let alone what might be visible when you watch the All-22, as far as what Brown might have been able to open up further down the field for Diggs, or even himself. Just beating his man. They just were an easier team to defend last night, because they did not have John Brown on the field, right. And their depth chart, as nice as it is, like McKenzie's got his little role, really it's about Roberts as a receiver, and that's just not, you know, they were shorthanded, and it showed.
You might even want Moss over Singletary for some of the running plays, but he's injured. And their tight end really can't catch the ball.
No.
You know? It's a nice idea, but he's dropping the ball, so... You deserved at least two, maybe three last night. You got one.
Right.
I think that puts you at six through five games. You need 40.
Yeah, it's not going well. 40 is the number for that bet. Yeah,
eventually they stop throwing to you, Bulldog, if you can't catch it.
That's right.
I hear there's a tight end on the team that catches everything.
Mm.
But he doesn't get to play.
He's not real athletic.
Well, which would you rather have? Second and 10? Would you rather have second and 10 or second and 8?
I'm not even gonna respond.
Put a poll up. Which would you rather have? Second and 10 or second and 8? I think everybody knows what I'm saying. 803-0550 to call us. We have Tyler Dunn today at 4.
Sweet.
That'll be great. Bills and NFL. He's perfect for what I, you know, think we want to be doing today. It's this game, but it's also the big picture. We might have to power rank today. And so we'll talk to Tyler Dunn and also Eric Wood. Eric would have been 4. It's his usual time after games, but 5:30 was a better fit for him today with his schedule. So Tyler Dunn, Eric Wood, and maybe you. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or... I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Throughout the week, yeah, I was kind of joking with you guys and saying they're going to have fresh legs because they haven't played, you know, come off a bye. And all they've been hearing about is all the teams around the league talking junk, a lot of media talking junk about how they can't keep the situation with COVID and all that stuff in-house and it's getting out. So they've been hearing a lot of stuff about that. And, you know, I can tell you if that was happening to us, you know, the Buffalo Bills football team, and everybody was coming at us saying how we could have did better with this whole COVID situation, bye week, coming to this game, not really knowing if you're playing or not, I'm going to be fired up too. But that's no excuse for us. We got to come down here prepared better and give out a better effort.
Micah Hyde seemed to avoid a serious injury last night. This is the third game this year where, by my count, where Hyde went down in the game but went back in. And last night there was concern about him, but he played beyond that injury. So I don't know if it's the same thing or what, but he's been in and out so far. The Bills' defense has had better days. And last night the Titans took them apart, 42-16. The Bills now 4-1, and it's Kansas City here on Monday. Not exactly, you know, a breather. The Chiefs. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs. Sneaky Joe. We have Tyler Dunn. 410 for Tyler Dunn. And Eric Wood in a couple of hours. Here is Dan with us. Hi, Dan.
Yeah. Is this me from Angola?
Hi, Dan.
Hey, yeah, I'd just like to talk about the game. Hey, Josh Allen got the jitters after a while because he tried to make everything happen, and it's going to happen. But our defense, come on, how many penalties can we take? And I don't know statistically. I don't have a computer in front of me. But Jerry Hughes, since I've been watching him, I love the way he plays the game. But he's good for a false start or an offside, whatever, at least once every three games. And that's got to stop. We beat ourselves up last night. We had ample opportunity to win that game. And our wide receivers, their job is to catch the ball. That's what they get paid for, not sit at some desk. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
I don't even want to discuss like the offside penalties because it's not what gets you beat, but they were a mess. They were sloppy. Yeah, there was a bunch of that. Epinesa.
Yeah, I mean, you, in a way, like if anybody's wondering about that statement you just made, it's not what gets you beat. There were three false start penalties on one of the Bills' two touchdown drives. Like they overcame the false start penalties and still scored a touchdown on one of those drives, but that doesn't remove the sloppiness of it, you know. And there were other penalties that hurt them more than that. It just contributed to a game that just did not look like, you know, they were just in it. They just were sort of out of it right. I don't want to say right from the start. It was a fluky play that leads to that first turnover, and they answered back nicely, you know, 7-7, nice drive right after that, and like, okay, we got a game, and then it just, you know, unraveled.
I was in here spinning the wheel of teams. I got here really early today. And I just was like, what should I do with my time? And I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spin the wheel of teams. And you know how you ever just do that? And sometimes you spin the wheel of teams and you get a team and you're just like, I don't know anything about it. I don't know the names of any players. I don't even know what colors they wear. I'm just blank on this team. And then sometimes you get like, just you strike gold. And today I spun Minnesota and I was like, so excited. I wish we had been on the air. Because Dalvin Cook has an adductor strain, and I have that. Feel like I should have been able to talk about it on the air, but we were not. It was like 1 o'clock.
Well, I mean, the opportunity is there.
I have the same injury as Dalvin Cook. I didn't get it the same way, but I have the same injury as Dalvin Cook. Joe's been watching me. Joe's been nice not to say anything. Joe, you see me get out of the chair like every break, and I sort of limp to the door.
There's a noticeable limp, sure.
It's very noticeable. I have to sort of...
I think I've just grown accustomed to it. It's been normalized.
Yeah, now I'm a guy with a limp to Joe. I think. He's not saying anything, but when I get back in here, I'm fine. I'm through it. So I sort of just dance around a little bit. Joe doesn't say anything either. I just try to show Joe that I'm actually good.
You guys ought to see me going up and down the stairs to this attic every day. And how do you know that Dalvin Cook didn't hurt himself the same way you did?
I guess I don't. Good point. I don't know how I did, though. I'd have to know that.
Oh, okay. Well,
But I don't.
I don't think we can ask him how you got hurt. That's not going to work.
That's right. He's unavailable.
Yeah.
They're practicing, probably.
Yeah.
But the maybe, caller, maybe they should not.
Yeah. The caller brought up Hughes, and like I don't, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
You take the bad with the good with Hughes. The good should be pressuring the quarterback, and I know he's rated favorably so far this year for beating his man. And you know, that's something, that's a place to start, right? Like winning his matchup, but you got to get there. And I mean, they just could not win. You know, I mentioned, I think late yesterday talking about the Steelers. Yeah. I think right at the end of the pregame show, you and I were talking about the AFC. And I said, like, if I'm playing somebody, the team I want to see the least on the other side of the line of scrimmage when I need like a 3rd and 7 to get in field goal range is Pittsburgh, because I feel like they are going to get home when they need to get home. They can dial it up, so to speak. The Bills aren't. I don't know. They lost their dial. Like they are not. They are not getting anywhere near the quarterback. First downs, on third downs, on any downs. Like they're just not generating pressure. Even yesterday when they brought numbers, they didn't get near Tannehill, or they did a terrible job containing him when they did that. I mean, it was just another thing that contributed to how crappy last night was.
Yes, I just want to play off that though. I don't think this year in this league you are getting to any quarterback that's good, no matter how good you are. Now there are stats on that. There are, you know, seconds or tenths or hundreds of seconds, and I also don't know where Tennessee ranks on that, but. If your team's quarterback is getting hit in 2020 NFL, you're terrible. Like, there is just no excuse for that. It's what made me crazy watching Brian Hoyer play against Kansas City. Because, like, it is just not acceptable if you are going to stand back there forever, especially in an end-of-half situation, and then eventually get hit and fumble. Like, that is just the worst play you can make in the NFL. If your quarterback is good at all, he is getting this in this league. He is getting rid of the ball before you have a chance.
I think that's maybe overstated a bit. I think it's right. The ball comes out faster than ever. We've talked about this in previous weeks. Like coverage is maybe the thing to emphasize because offenses are designed on getting the ball out of there. But you can still there's room in between. You know, not getting there at all and sacking him to at least make him uncomfortable, to hurry him. And there's no pass pressure at all. So it's more than it's about sacks. It's just about just making him uncomfortable, making him change what he wants to do. And
getting him off his spot,
Perfect. Getting him off his spot is right. It's just not happening with any, I mean, it's really didn't happen at all last night. I was going to say it's not happening frequently enough. It just wasn't present at all.
Fair enough. Here we go to Dennis next. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. So I got a couple points about the offense. Number one, I think, you know, I do like what Brian Daboll has brought to the Bills and the way that he's constructed the offense. I like it. I feel like he either outcoached himself a little last night or he was a little bit asleep at the wheel. I thought, you know, when you see a team that plays as much zone coverage with high safeties as they were playing yesterday, that's the time to bring out the zone read more. And I don't know why we didn't do that even once. We were so heavy on that. Maybe it's Josh's injury. I don't know, but I feel like I'm really surprised. You know, anybody would tell you, any coach would tell you that, you know, that's when you bring those plays out. And so we didn't do that at all, which is surprising. And then the other thing is, you know, we got Tywan Jones running routes in the end zone. And T.J. Yeldon's expansive role was interesting. And, you know, even to have Andre Roberts out there as much and not more Isaiah McKenzie, just the personnel choices were odd. And I just didn't like what we were doing there offensively. I know we're missing John Brown, but you know, that shouldn't really, like, totally transform everything that you're doing. You got other players out there that can play. And so, you know, I really didn't enjoy what I was seeing there from the offense, so even though I do like Abel. And I think defensively, you know, when you're seeing Jerry Hughes, I know another caller mentioned this, but, you know, you don't just get a free rein to just go anywhere you want on the field. There's a strategy behind every defensive call that's being made. And when you come inside that offensive tackle and there's nobody in sight outside of you, that's because you made the choice to go inside and you weren't supposed to. And, you know, Tannehill totally exploited that too many times. And I just feel like yesterday was a day where either the linebacker that's supposed to be over the top of that to be in contain was way out to lunch, or Hughes was out to lunch. But, you know, that stuff happened too often. I just don't know. I don't know what was going on. We were totally a different team yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're touching on one of the reasons why is their depth got tested and it wasn't really up to the test. I thought it was a curious decision that Tywan Jones was on the field on offense at all, let alone to have him targeted in the end zone or right at the goal line was you know, that was an interesting choice. He's also on the team because of his special teams aptitude, and they gave up a big return yesterday, and he was right at the point of attack on it and got blocked and just easily, you know, rendered useless on the play. So, that wasn't great for him individually at what he's supposed to be good at, let alone catching passes. I think the thing with McKenzie not being in the spot that Roberts was occupying is simply, and this might be a lack of flexibility on their part, but I'm guessing McKenzie has his role in the offense, and it's that jet sweep stuff, and, like, that's mostly it. When they're going to go four wides like they were on that first third down, then that Roberts is going to be the guy in the slot there, not McKenzie. McKenzie has a different role, and I don't know if he practices, you know, just playing the other spots. They give Gabriel Davis a lot of credit for knowing all three receiver spots. I'm not sure that McKenzie is as flexible as that.
It's funny how it can go from, wow, look at all these guys we have, to what are they doing out there?
Right.
Kind of, sometimes it's the same guys. Like, wow, Isaiah McKenzie. And you're like, wait, Isaiah McKenzie? Thought McKenzie had a fun or funny stat line. 4 for 7 and 1. He's like a goal line back or something. Like that, four receptions for 7. He's like a tight end. He's good. Lee Smith. If they let Lee Smith cook.
Oh, my God.
If they would let him cook. I could see 4, 7, and 1. Is that even, wouldn't you take it? So
they do, yeah, he gets credit for a reception and Allen credit for a touchdown pass on that little shovel thing.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
More of that.
Right.
Let's see some more of that. Works every time.
Let's see Lee Smith run that route.
I bet he could throw it. That's just extra confusion. Allen's out wide. Zone read. He isn't running the ball.
Yeah.
Like, it stopped. And it's interesting and a little bit baffling. Like, it just has stopped. And if it's injury, then okay. But it started before he got hurt. As far as we know, we can't know everything. We don't even know if they really practice. The Titans finally came along and said, no, we are not practicing. And they blew out a 4-0 team. So, who knows? But, yeah, it's just I'm doing some stats on Allen's rushing. I mean, he ran 14 times against the Jets, including kneel downs, and he has about the same number since, also including kneel downs and sneaks at the one.
Right, and some of those even might be scrambles too.
Yeah, right, a couple are. But against the Dolphins, he ran 2 times and had 2 kneel downs. Against the Rams, he ran 4 times, but 3 were inside the 5-yard line. All were in the red zone. Against the Raiders, he didn't run at all. He had 2 kneel downs, and in between that, he had a 1-yard touchdown sneak. And last night, he had 3. 7, 5, and 7 with a kneel down at the end of the first half.
Right.
In there, too.
He did get out once there and make a guy miss and get a first down. That was early, well, maybe on that first drive.
That's right.
Well, the drive after the aborted interception drive.
It was 3rd and 7 on the 30. It was one of those 4 third down plays on the first drive that were insanely good. And on that run, he has to deke. It's not, mm-hmm. You know, we know Allen. Like, he does not just run straight ahead. He dekes 2 guys and gets just to the line. Like, it's great. I don't know, man. If this doesn't come back, then it's just different. They are not the same offense without this one weapon, which is a serious weapon. And it's the first thing about him that was really super impressive. Then this year he came along and changed everything and threw accurately and threw downfield accurately, and everything's like, wow, what happened? This guy's way better. And, like, I'm not saying he isn't. It's just his running was really impressive, and it's just not happening anymore. 803-0550, if you think you know why. Tyler Dunn is back at 4.
Okay.
He was 4'10", now he's back at 4.
Yeah, so he corralled all the shopping carts in the greater Hamburg-Boston area, and he's available for us at 4.
Yes.
Okay, good.
It took a little bit less time than he thought. But, you know, I'm like him. You are too. We're guys that, like, you know, if we are going to be 10 minutes late for something, we'll tell you.
Yeah, because we know. Yeah, right. Like, it's not going to be left up to the last minute.
We'll tell you if we think we might be 10 minutes late. And then we'll tell you when we're not.
Right.
You know lots of people who are just never going to tell you any of that. They're just going to be late.
Right.
Oh, those people, Joe.
No respect.
Lee Smith would not do that. All right. Buffalo Bills football Wednesday. I just want to keep saying that because it's our one chance ever. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
You think he can still be a productive back in the league?
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and we'll see what happens.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, but Adam, when a team makes a free agent investment that large and it ends before two seasons, I think the fans are interested and knowing why it didn't work out with a player of that stature.
Yeah, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, and we're going to focus on this game right now.
How painful.
I cannot believe that guy still has a job.
The reporter?
That wasn't our buddy Leberfeld there, was it? It sounded a little bit like him, maybe. I think maybe it was him. You might need to listen back. You've known him a lot longer than me. No, I'm talking about Gase, of course. Holy cow. What a clown show.
I'm trying to decide right now if I want to incriminate my wife for something she said last night about, I can't even really, I'm
about
not sure
Dan
yet.
Leberfeld?
No.
About Le'Veon Bell?
No. No.
I'm out of ideas.
I can't say it now because I've already mentioned it was her.
Okay.
It's not that bad, but I really shouldn't go saying these things without thinking about it at least, if not asking for permission. But, you know, I'll tell you when I see you.
I will, listen, I will come out of the house at some point. If you want to, like, meet for a lunch or something before a show, like, we could do that. I'm just, so you know, like, I'm not on lockdown. I've not been to any states that are on the list anymore. I've been here.
That's
good.
I've
been here since mid-August. So
you know, you know how already today you're about the game, you're more, like, angry about it or concerned, and I'm sort of just, like, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's October. Last night, I said to you yesterday, like, I don't know what I'm going to do for this game. I'll tell you what I did. I drove straight home and ate canned soup with water.
Wow.
Soup and water. I'm Charlie Bucket.
You are the new me.
Soup and water for a Bills game.
That's a move that I would have made.
Italian wedding, by the way. That's totally your soup.
Oh, that is, yeah. Call Filippone.
Canned Wegmans Italian wedding soup. And water all night. Really fun time.
Yeah.
I loved the game. I even liked Jay Feely. Like, I was very just sort of normal with this game. You know, no beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know if there's a correlation.
I had a couple, but nothing, you know, nothing crazy. But I don't know. Am I angry? There was frustrating stuff. I think, you know, remember what I said to start. Can we just go on to Kansas City? Because I don't know that I don't need to overreact to this. I mean, it was a crap storm. It was a curb stomping. It was just a pandemic of ineptitude. It was horrible. But,
pandemic of ineptitude.
You put it down and you move on. And you know, hopefully it's not a really bad sign for what's to come here in the next, you know, few weeks or even few months. But I mean, it was bad. There are things there worth, I think, emoting about anyway. So
I agree with you. I'm not judging you. It's fine. It's good. I'm grateful for it. I drank water and ate soup. I need you right now to be that way. Hopefully Tyler Dunn is really upset. We talk to him after the update. Tyler Dunn, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.